God's Word, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, and we begin reading at verse 34. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and His eternal Word. Must be a terrible thing for the Lord to be telling us to pray to escape. Pray to escape. That's what He's saying to do. Pray to escape what? These things. What things? The things that's coming on the earth. Now, in the last, I guess I have to say the century before last, in the 1800s, when the holiness movement became prominent and people were getting educations and things were changing in the world, we came to the conclusion, the religious people did in America, that everything was just going to get better and better. And after a while, it just gets so good that what would happen is we just usher in the kingdom of God, that we wouldn't have to worry about anything, that then there's whole denominations set up on that premise, that Jesus was not coming back in flaming fire or taking vengeance or earthquakes or anything like that, that when He was coming back, it would be that we would be ready to welcome Him. We'd have the kingdom set up here in the world, and we'd just get smarter and smarter and more educated all the time, and eventually we'd just usher ourselves right into the kingdom of God. Well, that's a nice thought, but that's all it is. It's false doctrine. The truth is, my friend, that Jesus, in Matthew 21, by the way, Luke 21 is the parallel to Matthew 24. And it's the same discourse, except when you hear Luke tell it. And when Luke tells it, he's probably telling you what he heard from Mary or Jude and James and the other members of the Holy Family. He wasn't there. Luke was a Greek. He wasn't one of the apostles. But he was there for the apostolic revival that swept the earth and brought the gospel to all the people. But what he does remember was something that Jesus said that the others don't remember. That's why the Holy Spirit inspired four different people to write four different gospels, so that we got a whole picture of everything that's going on. And these things that are coming on the earth and being able to stand before the Son of Man on that day. Now, I have to tell you, what had been going on was that they had come up to Jerusalem for the Passover. And everybody was impressed. The temple that was there was magnificent. No, it wasn't Solomon's temple, which had been torn down by the Babylonians century before. And it wasn't really the one that Nehemiah and them built, but it was built on the foundation of that. And they had used only the finest materials in it. Huge blocks of stone, nearly as big as this church. And we have no idea how, but they had maneuvered them into place for foundation stones. And everybody looked at that magnificent temple. It was sitting on top of a mountain, and it just caught your breath when you looked at it. It was covered in white marble and gold plate and lined with cedar on the inside. It was a lot going on. The courtyard where people stood could accommodate over 100,000 people when they stood there. It was magnificent. And when Jesus looked at it, and it's amazing to me how much the apostles had not caught on yet. They're going to show Him this beautiful temple. They're going to show Him this beautiful temple. Him? Yeah. Him who spoke the world into existence. Him who made the mountains and the seas and the oceans. Him who made the plants and the animals and everything that's there. Him who had been there for Solomon's temple and filled it with his glory. Him who had divided the Red Sea. Him who had done all these wonderful things. They're going to show him. I think sometimes we have that idea that we're going to inform God about things. Sometimes I think maybe when we go to pray, we go to prayer to inform God about what's going on. Well, guess what, folks? You don't have to inform God about anything. God already knows what's going on. Sometime when we come, I think maybe we want to run to the hospital and get a fact sheet, a face sheet, and bring it out so when we pray, say, now God, look here what's wrong with so-and-so, and then we want to read it all off to him. He really doesn't need to be informed about your needs. Before you ever ask or before you ever come, he already knows what you need. What he does want to hear is your voice in faith calling out to him and believing that he can do it. And my brothers and sisters, they're going to show him the temple. They're going to show him the stones. And they said, do you see all these stones? Do you see all this gold? Do you see all this white marble? Do you see all this cedar lining? And everybody's impressed. Everybody's talking about it. And he's looking at it. It took 40 years to build this one building. It took 40 years to give it here. And Jesus, would you just look at it? And you know what he says? Said, you see these stones? You see all this gold? You see all this? It's all coming to an end. It's all going to come crashing down, and the stones are going to be torn apart, and not one stone is going to be left on top of the other. And all of this that Herod and the Jews and all of the other people have made is going to be destroyed. All of it is coming down. It's all going to fail. It's what the boy on the bulldozer in Pembroke told me, if you remember that story. And we were building our house, and they kept piling up dirt and rocks and logs and trees and all kinds of things when they were cleaning up along by the edge of the woods there. And I was distressed to see him pile up so many rocks and so much dirt and trash in with all the stuff that needed to be burned. So finally I got down there and hollered at him, and he stopped, and I said, you can't pile all that up there. It's not going to burn. He cut the bulldozer off, got out, stood up on the track, and leaned down and almost touched my nose and said, preacher, it's all going to burn. Shame on me. It's all going to burn. And they're showing him all of this magnificent temple. They're showing him what all they have done and what all their money has bought and what all their efforts have come to. And what does Jesus say? It's all coming down. It's all going to fall down. It's all going to come crashing down. It's not going to be there. And I have to think that about our society today, because we put so much stock in the dollar. We put so much stock in the stock market. We put so much stock in our inventions and our ingeniousness and all the things that we do. And my friend, I can tell you, it's all going to fail. It's all coming down. And when he tells them this, they're disturbed. And they said, is this when you're going to start the kingdom? When is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? And then he says, if you pay attention, there are going to be signs. If you pay attention, there are going to be things that you need to look at. And what's the first thing he tells them? Oh, surely it's some great thing in nature. No, it's not. It's some terrible thing in man. Because among men there will become false Christ and false teachers. And people will come saying, I am he, and deceive many. And people are going to be deceived. And people are going into false religions and false ways of worship and false things. And my brothers and sisters, your cautionary word from him is, do not be deceived. My friend, let me tell you something. If you can't see it and hear, you don't believe it. If you can't see it and hear, you don't accept it. If you can't see it and hear, you don't make it your creed and your code and your lifestyle, my friend, because I can tell you the Holy Spirit will do nothing that disagrees with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will do nothing that crosses the Word of God. God, now Mr. Trump may say one thing today and another thing tomorrow, but whatever God says today, God is going to be saying tomorrow. Whatever he believes is right today is going to be right tomorrow. God is not going to change his mind just to suit the whims of human beings. So we have to watch out. Number one, we need to escape from what? False Christ, false teachers. You say, oh, nobody would come claiming to be Christ. Have you ever been to a Christian Scientist church? Have you ever been to a Christian Scientist church? They believe that their leader, who was a woman, by the way, is the female impersonation of Jesus Christ on the earth. Now, that's not something I'm ashamed to say or to poke fun at. I just want you to know, yes, there are people who are saying they are Christ. There are people who are saying that Christ has appeared among them. And there are people who are going into the false doctrine of those cults. And my friend, you need to be aware of that. Because this day, he says, pray that you'll be able to escape from it. And from what? From wars and rumors of wars and a restlessness of people and of nations and of kindreds and of tongues. And I noticed the word in there, and commotions. Oh, I wonder if that doesn't apply to our day and time. Commotions. Wonder how much commotions there are in the United Nations. Wonder how much commotions there are in London or Washington, D.C. or Moscow or any of the other seats of government in the world. He said here and later in Revelation that it would be like the ocean and the waves would just be going back and forth and foaming up and crashing over. And the population of the world in the last days would be so unsettled, and men would run to and fro. And even though knowledge would be increased in the last days, he said to Daniel, the nations would be in such commotion. And brothers and sisters, we're seeing that. What's he saying? Deliver us. Deliver us from the commotions of the nations. Deliver us from the commotions of the restlessness of the people in the world. And this earth is going to be plagued with natural disasters, earthquakes, he's specific about it, famines, pestilences, diseases. My friend, we thought when we got rid of polio and diphtheria and we got something for pneumonia, we got something for TB, man, we're doing good. Why, men aren't going to die anymore. We're just going to keep on living. But my friend, with the polio vaccine and all of the other medicines that we've come up with, and I'm thankful for every one of them. I'm grateful for anything that we have been privileged to have that makes life a little easier. But the truth is, my brothers and sisters, the terrible truth is that the pestilences are still there. And once we get away with one disease, there's another one to take its place. And if you look at the world that you're living in, my friend, you're living in a world of natural disasters. One volcanic eruption after another. One earthquake after another. Do you realize that we have over 1,000 times more earthquakes every year now than we did the year Christopher Columbus came to the New World from Europe? Do you realize that all of these natural disasters are happening and we're helpless to do anything about it? In fact, as he said, this would be a hostile world. The old hymn says that this world is not a friend of grace. And my brothers and sisters, that's evermore the truth. The truth is that there will be a hostility in the world to the gospel. He said, you do not need to be surprised that men don't receive you. You do not need to be surprised, Christian, that you're persecuted or that you feel that you're not at home in this world because the society around you has turned against you and turned hostile to you. He said, that's the way it will be. He goes on to say that in this world there will be signs in the heavens and the earth above, blood and vapor and smoke and all those things, and stars are going to cascade down from the sky and roll away as a stone. And all of these things are going to happen throughout the universe. And brothers and sisters, as we look today, we have greater access to the heavens than we've ever had before. We have greater opportunity to see what's going on out there than we ever had before. And brothers and sisters, if you pay attention, all you have to do is listen to the television, listen to the radio, listen, read the newspaper. But my friend, you can read the book, and it's just as current as the latest newscast is. A hostile world with signs in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. And it will be a time that men are in terror. In fact, as it said, men's hearts will be failing them for fear, looking at the things that are on the earth. I have to tell you something. If you're in this world today and you're not saved, you ought to be terrified. You ought to be terrorized. You ought to be shaking in your boots. If you're in this world today, my friend, and you have not made your family altar, and you have not got your family to where they can pray, and you have not have your family in, my friend, as Mama used to say, you ought to be on your prayer bones. You ought to be down on your knees begging and pleading with God, my friend, because the day is coming, and now is, that all of this is coming to pass. All of this is happening right now. And it said men's hearts will fail them for fear. And you say, well, that'll cause a great revival. All of the men see all of these terrible things coming and all the horrors of the last days coming. Why, everybody's going to repent. Everybody's going to turn to God. Sorry. No, they're not. Fact is, they're going to curse the God of heaven because of the plagues that are falling on them. They're going to curse the God of heaven because of the plagues that are coming on them and falling on them. So men are in terror looking at the things that are coming on the earth. Men are in terror looking at the opportunities that are sliding down. You know, we're just getting smarter and smarter and richer and all of the things that's going on. But my friend, we're no closer to solving humanity's problems than we've ever been. We're still in the same positions we've always been. So when I look at all this stuff, I have to say to myself, where am I? Where do I stand in all this? Well, let's look at God's clock. You say, well, what is God's clock? Well, he's very plain about it right here in the scripture. In fact, he says, let me see if I can see the beginning of that. He says, and when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them that are in the midst depart out. What's he saying? When you notice that the armies of the world are gathering against Jerusalem and against Israel, you be sure to know, my friend, that it's time to run. Run to the mountains. Run to the desert. You say, well, what good will that do? My friend, run to your prayer closet and call on your God. Why? And pray that you will be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. It's going to get worse before it gets better. One day Jesus will come. But until he comes, my friend, the history of humanity is downhill. The history of humanity is going over the wrong side. And brothers and sisters, the hostility to the gospel and the deception of the worldly system is going to increase and grow. So when you see the armies, and when I look up there and I see Syria and Turkey and those, that little crescent there, uniting with Gog and Magog, the Russian nation on the north, and I see them all starting to march and look toward Israel, I see the armies beginning to gather against Israel. My friend, don't you realize all of that mess over in the Middle East is not about America. It's about Israel. You see, if Satan can destroy Israel, if the Jews are taken from the earth, if Jerusalem is destroyed from the earth, then God's a liar and Satan wins. That's not going to happen. But I can tell you it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I'm sorry, and even our president has warned us in the last few days about the anti-Semitism, the anti-Jewish factions that are in the world. All over the world, they're rising up against Israel and against the Jews. And he says, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with the armies and all, can you imagine how big and how great the United States is, how powerful we are? We are the richest, most powerful group of people that have ever existed in the whole history of humanity, all put together. Do you realize that? And do you realize who is the pivotal thing in the whole world process today? Same little piece of property that God gave Abraham. Same little family that God gave Abraham. Same little people. Let me tell you, my friend, the promises that God Almighty made to Israel and the promises that God made to His people, Israel, are going to come to pass. God is not a liar. If Hitler had been able to destroy every single Jew in the world, my friend, God would have been a liar. But God wasn't. He has always preserved a remnant throughout the history of the Israelites. There have been times that we were down to just a few people. There have been times that we were down to where we could not find the actual nation of Israel as such. My friend, today that nation has been restored miraculously, wonderfully, if you pay attention to it. And my brothers and sisters, when you see Jerusalem, there's your clock. Look at Jerusalem. Don't look at Washington. Don't look at Moscow. Don't look at great centers in Africa. Look at Jerusalem. That one little piece of real estate between the Euphrates River and the Nile River and the Mediterranean Sea and the mountains of Ararat on the north. My friend, that peace that He gave Abraham, God will keep His promise. And God help this country, and God help the stupid people in this country not to vote against Israel ever, not to turn against Israel. But my friend, that we as a people may stand up and be counted. And you say, well, what am I going to do with all of this happening? This is overwhelming. That's why men's hearts are failing. It's because it's overwhelming. You say, what am I going to do? How am I going to live? What's going to be my strategy through this? Number one, stay awake. Stay awake. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up and be sober and watch. Over and over, Christ says this. Over and over, He says, stay awake. Stay sober and watch. Why? Because the great escape is coming, and you need to be counted worthy to be part of the escape. One day, my friend, one day when no one else is looking, when they've got their mind on all of the activities of this world, when they've got their mind on all of the power plays that's going on in the governments of this world, my friend, one day when that happens, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords are going to walk down that golden staircase and across the Milky Way and step His foot into the atmosphere of this earth. And when He does, it will activate the grave of every Christian that's been born again and filled with the Spirit of God. And they're coming out of those graves with new and glorified bodies. And they're going to rise up to meet Him in the air. And as they come up, if we're still alive here and on this earth, we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And out of here we go. Hallelujah. We're going to escape. We're leaving here, my friend. We're leaving behind all of this trials and troubles and things that's going on. But the danger is that Satan will have us so drunk that we cannot tell what time of the day it is. Do you notice that old English word in there we don't use much anymore? Surfeiting. That would be the one that applies to the United States. You say, what in the world does that mean? You know, I discovered a long time ago that if I don't really know what the words in the Bible mean and what God said, they're not doing me much good. I need to know what it means. What does it mean when He says, don't be caught up in surfeiting, because it's going to be a snare to him. It's what we were all guilty of during the Christmas season. It's what we've all guilty of in America almost every day that we live. And you say, what's that? Overindulgence. Just bring it on. You say, well, I sounded like a hog at slop. Well, you can tell what part of the country I came from. Did you ever go feed the hogs? How many of us there fed hogs? All right. And when we go to feed the hogs, I used to get so aggravated at them. We'd go to feed the hogs, and you got the slop bucket full, and you can't pour it in, for the hog's got his head in it. Sticks his head right in it. Puts both feet up in the trough and sticks his head in it, and you're just pouring it everywhere. And I get so aggravated at the pigs because they do that. This is exactly sort of what the word surfeiting means. We in America have overindulged, and we in this world are drunken with the prosperity and with the abundance. Well, we have more clothes. We don't fix shoes anymore. Shoe shops have gone out of business. You say, why? Because we just throw away our shoes and get another pair. What happened to the watchmaker? Well, we don't need him, because we just throw away the watch and get another watch. Or do like me, look at the telephone. We are indulging ourselves to feel good, to be full and fat and sassy and all that kind of thing. My brothers and sisters, this causes you to be drunken on the things of this world. And being drunken on the things of this world, you will not see. You see, Paul warns the Christians in the New Testament not to be drunken with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because they that are drunken stumble and fall. Here we are, my friend, on the very brink and the very cusp of eternity. Here we are on the very edge of the Lord Himself coming from glory and receiving us up into Himself. And the clock is ticking, and God's clock in Jerusalem is ticking, and I can see it going by. And what are we doing? Oh, what are we praying about? Escaping? Oh, no, we're not. We're praying, can I afford this new car? Oh, God, if you could possibly be your will, could you make me able to afford this? Oh, God, if it's your will, could you possibly afford to let me have this, Lord? Could you make me able to afford that? We pray about luxuries in America. We pray about things we don't actually need. Not what we need, but what we want. Amen. What we want. Brothers and sisters, there is an escape coming. One day, He's coming to take us away. And there's a hole in that sky. And up, up, up we go. And I can't imagine. Can't even think. You say, well, we'll sing, I Can Only Imagine. We can only imagine, but we can't imagine. We do imagine what it will be like. We do think what it will be like. But we have no idea. When Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds, they won't hear it in the White House, nor the Capitol. They won't hear it in Nashville or in Hollywood. Oh, there'll be some people in Nashville and Hollywood that hear it, and be some people in Washington that'll hear it. But as a whole, they won't hear it. And the United Nations won't hear it. But my friend, the dead in Christ will hear it. And those that sleep in Him will hear it and rise from their sleep for an eternity with God. My brothers and sisters, don't let our surfeiting, our overindulgence, be a snare to us. You know what a snare is? That's when little bird or animals walking along in the woods, and the path's all covered with leaves and grass, and everything looks real good, and the little animal walks along, and he steps his foot down in the snare. And the next thing you know, he's hanging upside down from a tree because he's been snared in a trap. My brothers and sisters, the drunkenness of this world not just in alcohol and narcotics, but my friend, the drunkenness of overindulgence, the drunkenness of having so much, the drunkenness of not paying attention to what time it is because we're paying attention to what we want and what we can get. My brothers and sisters, the advice of Jesus Christ is this: stay awake, stay sober, and watch and look, and what? Escape. Pray that you be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to be caught in this, do you? I don't want to be caught in a situation that I can't get out of. And I beg you today, to be sure that your calling and election is right. Be sure that your sins are under the blood. Be sure that your family has been warned. Be sure that your children and your grandchildren have been told the gospel. Be sure that you bring your children and your grandchildren, if you can, to the house of God to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I would ask you today, with everything that's within my heart, to turn from the old ways of this world and to be part of the coming kingdom of God. There is a way to escape this world. Pray that you be counted worthy to escape. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Our Father in God, we are thankful for every opportunity that we have to come into your presence and into your midst. We thank you, Father, that you have not left us without a witness, but your precious word has come to witness to us. Heavenly Father, I pray that the Spirit of the Most High and the Most Holy God, Lord, will be with us to touch us, to sanctify us, and to show us your will. Help us, Father, to watch. Help us not to be drunk. Help us to walk in the paths you'd have us to walk in. And Father, when you're done with us on this earth, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, save us in heaven. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen.